as a kid. Maybe not about science, but anyway. But these are a few of the things that come to mind. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, though it makes him very sad. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Also, wise men build their house upon the rock of God's word. And one of my favorites is somewhere in outer space, God has prepared a place for those who trust him and obey. And when you have God, you have peace like a river and joy like a fountain and love like an ocean. And it's good to let your light shine. By the way, you can learn a lot in Sunday school. And you don't just have to be a kid. We have Bible classes for all ages starting at 9:30. And they're studying Judges upstairs. And with the teens, we are talking about spiritual disciplines. So if you want to join us as we talk about fasting next week, come on down, 9:30. You already get up anyway, so have your coffee here. So anyway, enough of the commercial, but it's a great time. Plus, you get a better parking spot, and you can claim a seat right up front so you can see and hear better. There you go. Anyway, well, another thing I learned in Sunday school was how to pray. You know, they say, bow your head and close your eyes. But that always reminded me of something that my mom would say. Open your mouth and close your eyes and you'll get a big surprise. And then she'd like try to feed me some sloppy spinach. No, she wouldn't, because she was really cool. She'd give me something like raw chocolate chip cookie dough or something equally delicious. Bow your head, close your eyes, and we'll talk to God. But anyway, I learned an acronym as a kid about prayer called ACTS, A-C-T-S, A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, S for supplication. Now, I didn't really ever have a problem knowing what the word supplication meant, because it sounded a lot like dinner or supper. And I was always asking, what time supper, or what are we having for supper? And that meant I was asking. And anyway, dinner was always good at my house unless my mom served up the villain of the vegetable world, cauliflower, especially with her nasty, slimy, slithery cheese sauce smothered concoction that would always catch on the hang-me-down part of my throat and then want to come roaring back and decorate the wall at high velocity. You know how that goes? But anyway, I learned supplication means ask. Well, later I learned in Sunday school that prayer is just more than a one-way conversation where I do all the talking and God sits there and listens. Actually, I learned it's more of a conversation. It's interacting with God. And sometimes I should zip my lip and hear him out. And then even better, do what he says. Later on, I learned the acronym PRAY, of course. P for praise. R for repent. A for ask. Y for yield. Yeah. And that worked a lot better with the Good News Club kids, some of whom didn't have a church background. And didn't know, what's adoration? I don't know. Well, anyway, after a few week break from Daniel, as we prepared for Christmas and now the new year, we are back to Daniel in chapter 9. And it's going to be a dramatic shift from all the personal history and the prophecy to an amazing lesson on prayer. And in a pretty powerful way, actually, his prayer follows along with the ACTS acronym or the PRAY acronym and gives us a great example to follow. Well, let me pray, and then we're going to jump in. Lord, we thank you that we have this opportunity to look into your word. I'm so thankful that it is timeless, Father, and that it speaks today, that we can read it. And that, Lord, you've given us so many tools to understand it, primarily the Holy Spirit. Lord, we don't spend enough time there, and that is an issue. But, God, I pray that you would work today and challenge us and help us to do what you'd have us to do. And help us, Lord, to respond with a big yes. In your name, amen. Well, 12 years after the vision in Daniel chapter 8, we get to chapter 9. And Daniel is now in his 80s. He's outlived the complete Babylonian Empire, and he now serves under the empire of Medo-Persia. Daniel was a guy who prayed a lot. There's many instances of his praying. Part of the reason he ended up in the lion's den was because he prayed. But he didn't quit. But the good thing also is he was a student of God's word. And that's what we find him doing in the first few verses of chapter 9. He's reading God's word, and then it motivates him to act. We read, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom in the first year of his reign. Darius's first year was probably 539, 538. That's possibly another name for Cyrus, and they go back and forth. Some people say son of Xerxes. Other translations talk about Ahasuerus, depending on if you're dealing with the Greek or the Hebrew or the Persian. Very likely these are titles rather than personal names, so we don't know for sure. Babylon's off the scene. There's a new empire, a new king. And I, Daniel, in verse 2, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Daniel's reading the scripture, and it leads him to pray. The Old Testament wasn't quite complete. They didn't have every single book yet, and yet he knew that this was God's authoritative word, and it was accepted as from God. And Daniel definitely believed Jeremiah's words were inspired. They were from God. They were trustworthy, and they were literal. Oh, when he mentioned 70 years, he got out his day timer, and he traced time. He said, the time is about over. You see, the people had been sent into exile because they disobeyed God. They'd been warned in Deuteronomy over and over. In fact, they'd had a big ceremony. They'd said, okay, everybody, the Lord says, if you follow me, you'll be blessed. And these great things will happen. You'll have children. The land will produce. Your enemies will stay away. Life will be good if you follow God. And the people said, all right. And then God, in a series of long questions and in quite a long church meeting, in a sense, he said, but if you don't follow me, if you disobey and turn to other gods and do your own thing, your enemies will come, you'll have health problems, your nation will be destroyed, everyone will die, your crops won't grow, you'll starve, it's going to be horrible, horrible, horrible if you disobey. Do you understand? And all the people said, yes, we do. God said, is it a deal? And they said, deal. Well, guess what? They disobeyed. They are warned for hundreds of years by over a dozen prophets. Turn back to God, turn back to God, turn back to God. And what'd they say? Sorry, we're going our own way. And in Jeremiah, which 25 and 29 are probably where Daniel's reading. Jeremiah 25 tells us, this whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. But when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation, the land of the Babylonians, for their guilt, declares the Lord. I will make it desolate forever. I'll bring upon that land all the things I've spoken against it, all that are written in this book and prophesied by Jeremiah against the nations. So here's Daniel. He's going, 70 years, 70 years. Babylon's going to be done. Guess what? Babylon is now off the scene. Jeremiah 29 also tells us, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I'll come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans for you. And this sounds familiar, right? Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in a future. And this is spoken to a people in exile who've been there for 70 years. You'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will bring you back from captivity. I'll gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you, declares the Lord. I'll bring you back to the place from which I carried you off into exile. God promised, if you obey me, I'll bless you. He kept that promise when they did. He promised, I'm going to curse you if you disobey me, and he kept that promise. He said, if you blow it, into exile you're going to go. But because I keep my promises, after 70 years, I'm bringing you back home. Well, Daniel goes, oh, wow, it's about that time. It's time to start praying. You see, he believes that God keeps his promises. Do we believe that? It's interesting because when he looked into God's word and he saw what it said, he started to pray. Bible study led to prayer and action on his part. You know, when we read God's word, does it lead us to praying? Wow. You know, more and more I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I was talking to a friend at the Upper Road Community Center a couple months back, and And we were talking about the Ukraine-Russia war, and I mentioned that I pray for war to end every day, for the end of the war every day. She thought I'd said, I pray for the end of the world every day. And she said, did you just say you pray for the end of the world every day? And I said, well, actually, I was referring to the end of the war, but when it comes down to it, I do pray for the end of the world too. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm ready to go be with you. And that's more than just when I'm having a bad day or it's like, oh, I am so not ready for Sunday. Come quickly, God, get me out of here. No, it's like I really do want him to come. I want to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. You know, I do encourage you. I hope that you've been started the challenge to read through the Proverbs and Psalms every month this year. And if you haven't started, hey, guess what today is? The 14th. Go home and read Proverbs 14, and tomorrow read 15, and then on Tuesday read 16. And you can do the math and figure out the Psalms, five a day. But I would encourage you to pray through those. There's a lot of good prayer material. Don't just skim or use it as background noise. You see, as Daniel read, he was filled with hope. Wow, it's almost time, Lord. I'm getting excited. You're going to do something. When you read God's word, I hope that it motivates you. Romans 15 tells us, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Why should you have peace and joy? Because you can trust in him. He will do what he said he's going to do. So you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, then we get into the great pattern of prayer in verses 3 through 19. So Daniel responds after reading the scripture this way. And it's a little different than you might think where I'm going unless you read the passage. So I turned to the Lord God and I pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. He doesn't say, yippee, you're coming back. All right, let's do it. Come on, God, move up the timetable. Come on. No. He goes, oh, the reason we had these 70 years is because we blew it bad. He does real bad business with God. He doesn't just set the timer for 4 minutes, have his devotions, and then off he goes. No, he really sets aside time. He reads, and then he responds. And he gives God all the time he needs. The reality is, do you ever think about the Lord of the universe? The Lord Jesus actually will spend as much time with you as you will give him. Isn't that cool? You don't have to make an appointment. You just, though you can, just set one up. It's amazing. He doesn't bill by the hour. He doesn't signify with his body language or tap on his clock or look around that he's ready for you to go and do your thing because he's got stuff to do. He'll spend as much dedicated time as you're willing to give. That's amazing. By way of contrast, let's say you win a backstage pass to the Taylor Swift concert in Las Vegas next week. All your expenses paid. You're going to get the royal treatment. You can rub shoulders with Time's Person of the Year. What's that?
I sell that ticket.
Yeah, anyway. Well, don't count on having a whole lot of time to go deep and say, how are things with Travis? I don't know how to say his last name. Or bounce an idea. Hey, I got an idea for your next album. You know, if you're at her meet and greet, if you get a high and a smile and a wink, that's going to be good. Because she's busy. Now, I don't give a hoot's hind end for what she sings or plays or whatever, but half the world seems Lady Gaga about her. I don't know. But she's booked solid. She's got songs to sing, places to go, movies to make, red carpets to walk. The truth is, though, God would give her all the time that she wants with him. And let's pray she actually takes him up on it. But let's also pray we do that too. When we meet with God in the morning or noon or night or whatever you do, it should be more than a fist bump. You know, sup, God, sup. Later, cool. I guess you could do that, but that's not quite the fear of the Lord thing we've been talking about. No, a real encounter with God will change you, or it should. Maybe he will. Yeah, so. I don't know. Not really. But it did Daniel. When he spent time with God, he was transformed. But he began, and he did confess. He got serious. He ripped his clothes. You don't have to do that. Maybe some of your clothes you need to do that too. But anyway, but he started his prayer with praise. He goes, oh Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. It's interesting. He spoke to the Lord, L-O-R-D. the covenant name of God, Yahweh. He spoke of the Lord God. He said, the Lord, my God. He said, Lord, the great and awesome God. He knew who he was talking to. And he unpacked that, and I was like, wow, God, you are amazing. These are different aspects. And if you study God's name, you'll be blown away how great he is. So he's pleading and praying and fasting and weeping and confessing with a heavy heart to his God because he knows him. Now, what we know of Daniel is he's one of the Bible's good guys. You know, we don't read of him killing people or stealing spouses or getting into idolatry or breaking all the commandments or doing people dirty. No. He follows God. He makes tough decisions as a young man, as a teenager, all the way to his 90s. He's always trusting God. In fact, he's willing to die for his faith. But guess what? He's still a regular guy, like you or I. He trusted in God with all his heart, but he still had a sin nature. And I bet there's times he had a hard time trusting. Okay, God, you're going to throw me in the lion's den? He was a regular human being. Just like us. He also understood something. And there's a communal nature and corporate nature of our faith. When one part suffers, so does the other. When one part rejoices, so does the other. Adam and Eve sinned, and we're in a heap of trouble now. It's kind of like we used to joke, some dude in China ate a bat, and we're out of toilet paper. You know, that kind of deal. You know, when a guy like Achan sins, and the people of Israel suffer. When kings sin, the people pay a high price. If I sin, it's going to affect you. And when you guys sin, it grieves me as well. Well, Daniel's humble enough to say that he is not perfect, that he also sins. He's guilty just like everyone else. He may not have done those exact deeds when he was a young teen that led the nation to be hauled off into exile. He wasn't there 400 years earlier. He wasn't the one erecting Asherah poles and sacrificing his kids and doing all these horrible things. But he also realized he's in the same sin boat as everybody else, and he's in need of God. And what he's going to do then is he's going to repent. And you know, we would be wise to repent too. Not only when we pray for ourselves and our church, but also our nation. Think about it. Every year there's a National Day of Prayer in May. And at other times we pray for our country. And I hope you pray for it all the time. But the right prayer is not necessarily work over those worldly workers of wickedness. Persecute those of Planned Parenthood and those other promiscuous perverts. Deal harshly with the devilish dudes. Save our state. Smite the sinners. Well, you can pray that, I guess. And David does have some psalms like that. But even as we're wanting God to dish out justice to everybody, think about it. Do you really want justice from God? Oh, no. Not if you're honest. Because if you got what you deserve, off to hell we'd all go. That would not be a good thing. What we really want is grace and mercy. You see, I'm not guilty of breaking the sixth commandment literally. I haven't actually murdered anybody. I've not knifed anybody or capped somebody. I haven't taken a hatchet to a head or a brick to a brain. I don't put arsenic in your tea. I didn't drive that idiot driver off the road in the cliff into the river, even if he deserved it. You know, but I have gotten really mad, and I have called people fools, to put it mildly. I've hated at times my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And guess what Jesus said? That sounds like murder to me. I haven't literally committed adultery with my physical body, but with my mind, I am guilty. So I stand before you as one who doesn't have clean hands and a pure heart either. But I need the righteousness of Jesus, and so do you, and so does everybody. I need his grace and mercy, not just to save me from my sin in the first place, but help me moment by moment to live for him. And I'm going to need it every single moment until I get to heaven, when I'll be completely sin-free, and then it's going to be awesome. But until then, oh boy, I need you every millisecond I need you, you know. Like Daniel, I need to repent of my sin. And if you look at the list of all Israel's done, and we'll look at it, they've done wrong, rebelled against God, turned away from his commands, not listened to wise, godly counsel, trusted in bad old me instead of good old God. I'm full of pride and arrogance, even as I judge those horrible sinners out there. Oh, can you believe that? Look what I saw in my newsfeed. What are they up to next? Oh, wait. Ooh. Guess who's guilty of pride? That's a problem too. This is not to make excuses, but just to say we all fall short of the glory of God. And our only hope is to call on Jesus in our helplessness. I need a Savior. And Daniel was doing that. You know, it's interesting that we don't have to every day weep and wail for the sins of our nation and the people of God. But there are times we should. And every day we should confess our own sins to our God, who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Well, Daniel, as we look at verses 5 to 15, he's grieved because guess what? It wasn't the wicked Babylonians, though they got their due. It wasn't the Medo-Persians. It wasn't the Assyrians before them. It won't be the Romans who get it later. No. He is weeping because the people of God have turned against their God. That's bad. They were called out from the nations to be his special people, and they turned their back on him. And so really it's more, a more accurate illustration would be like us not mourning the sins of our nation as much as, Lord, we as a church have failed you in many ways. We as a body of believers have not always been unified or kind. You see, it's a big deal when we shout to the world, we talk God, but we don't walk God. It makes them look bad among those who don't know him. And that's what the Jewish people had done. The nations were watching. Oh, are you really a special people? Is God really in your midst? Well, you sure act like jerks. Oh, that's why they got hauled into exile. And so Daniel prays at the end of verse 4. O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who obey him and obey his commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from our commands and laws. We've not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. He doesn't make excuses. He doesn't blame God. If you weren't so picky, this is no celebrity politician apologize. I'm sorry if something I said offended you, since you're such a weenie and you can't take it. That's no, not at all. Or I'm sorry because I got caught. No, we've blown it. We've got no excuses. And then he contrasts what the people of God have done, what God is like. He said, Lord, you are righteous, but to this day we're covered with shame in verse 7. The men of Judah and people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you've scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and fathers are covered with shame because we sinned against you. We're covered with shame, but you aren't. We've been unfaithful, but you haven't, God. We sinned, you've acted rightly. And then he's about to praise God's character in verse 9. The Lord, our Lord, is merciful and forgiving, even though we've rebelled against him. We've not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law, and he's thrown himself here. I've done wrong too and turned aside, refusing to obey you. See, God is merciful and kind and loving and just and true and mighty and gracious. But how have we responded? I think I'll have it my way. I'm going to do my thing. I'm smarter than you, God. After all, look at my brains. We do those kind of things. You know, I know I have the sense I should really spend time talking to God. But you know what? I wonder what Tucker's saying instead. Or I should hold my tongue. But no, they need a piece of my mind first. Those are little things we do. I hope you feel the heat, not from me, but from God. You know, we as a church need to repent at times. As a church, we've treated people of other races terribly in the past. Not always, not everywhere, but it's horrible how people would justify slavery and oppression by twisting the Bible. It's because you guys are descendants of Ham, you know, the bad dude. You know, it's all that's fault, you know, or whatever they did. As a church, we point out perversion, but we fail to tell people, come to the water of life. We're puffed up with self-righteous pride as we scoff at those who proclaim pride, and that's an issue. Or we live high in the hog and we store up our treasures while our other believers around the world are dying of dysentery from dirty water. Or somebody says, happy holidays, and we get all upset where some of our brothers and sisters are slaughtered for their faith. But because them or those people or our little brown brothers, we don't really care. Have a nice day, you poor persecuted Pakistani people of God. What's for lunch? Hope coffee talks good. This isn't just about the government of the people, by the people, for the people, but how are we doing as God's people? That's the real issue. Now, the punishment that was promised to Israel was very specific for the nation of Israel. It was specific. Our nation isn't the Jewish nation, but those who claim to be God's are his people and need to act that way. We often pray for our country in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. It's good to pray that for our nation. I would hope that our nation, our leaders, our people, our communities would turn to God. I want our nation to turn to God in faith and repentance. God's our only hope. But I got to make sure that I start with me. Oh, Lord, help me to turn back to you. Help us as a body of believers to do that. And Lord, work on them as well. God's our only hope. Well, Daniel knows what the people of God deserve, and this is what he says in verse 11. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we've sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us a great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing's been done like this that's been done to Jerusalem. It was wiped out. Just as it's written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, and we deserve it. Yet we've not sought the favor of our Lord by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord didn't hesitate to bring this disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we've not obeyed him. David in Psalm 51 says, against you only I have sinned. Well, yes, oftentimes our sin is against others, but first and foremost, it's always against God. And Daniel recognizes the people of God blew it, and he as a man blows it, and I know I blow it, and I happen to know firsthand a lot of you do too. But it's bad. Sin is bad for those who know what they should do and don't do it, or don't do what they should do. And judgment begins with the house of God. It's not just those pagans out there. It's us church-going, not always so God-fearing folks. And then it gets even more tragic, verse 15. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned and we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with your righteous acts, turn away your anger and wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to those around us. We were going through the book of Exodus as a men's study on Wednesdays at 1:30, and you're always welcome to join us. And we kept hearing the phrase, then you will know, then they will know, then we will know, or you will know that I am the Lord. Well, God brought all the plagues upon Pharaoh so he would know who God was. He sent the plagues on Egypt so the Egyptians would know what God was like. And also so the Israelites would know he is the Lord. He gets them across the Red Sea. He wipes out the army of Egypt. He gets them into the promised land so people would know that he is the Lord. He does all these things so they will know me and praise me and turn from their wicked ways and turn to me. And how do the people of Israel respond after hundreds of years of warnings? They act like number one, idiotic, imbecilic, dorkedly, dumb-cough, knuckleheaded, no good, profoundly pagan poser, regular Yahweh Yahoos. But isn't that how we act sometimes too? We got God's truth. I read it this morning. God, you're good. Oh, but I really don't trust you much. Ooh. Instead of enjoying and exalting God so much, the nations come running and say, tell me about your Jesus. They turn to disgust when we turn on each other. All too often, we don't make God look good. We make him look bad. Sometimes the bumper sticker, Jesus, protect us from your followers, is true of us. Well, Daniel needed God. The people of Israel needed God. The church needs God. I need God. You need God. Every person on this planet needs God. And guess what? We have access to him if we'll take the opportunity. When we pray, we should praise him. We should repent. We should ask and we should yield. And the great thing is, God's kindness leads to repentance. After all, if he convicts of sin, It's the way to be saved and forgiven. If your sin makes you sad, be celebrate. I sinned and I feel like crud. Well, rejoice, because if you were stoked about it, that would be an issue. I blew it again. I'm sorry, Lord. But if your sin doesn't cause you to grieve, you're in a very bad spot spiritually. If you sin and you don't really care, be afraid. Be very afraid. But if he's working on you, and I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that, I'm sorry, Lord. Be glad. He's got a hold of your heart. So Daniel asks next, in the last few verses, "Now, O God, hear our prayers and the petition of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We don't make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, don't delay, because your city and people bear your name." God appeals to, or Daniel appeals to God's glory. Lord, we don't deserve it, because you're so good, and because we belong to you, will you please listen, forgive, hear, and act? And the implication is Daniel is going to say yes, he will yield. Oh, that we as a church would as well, that our lives would reflect his goodness and truth and beauty, that we would hate our sin and love God, and the whole world would know. Let me encourage you. When you pray, do more than ask. Praise. Repent is necessary. Ask, yield. Have adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Yes, this is a great passage on prayer for us. And it has a heavy emphasis on repentance and confession. And that's really admitting our sin before God. He's perfect, we're not. Maybe you've never called on God to forgive your sin. Today is a great day. You may not have tomorrow. Maybe you've been quick to judge others inside and outside the church. Well, get right with God and do so now. Are you struggling with a problem or with arrogance or pride or porn or gossip or greed or apathy, indifference, impatience, hate, rage, bitterness, wanting what others have, lying, immorality, impurity, debauchery, fits of rage, selfishness, drunkenness, you name it, you know it, turn to God. He'll take and nail your sin to the cross. He'll deal with it. He'll help you. He is faithful. He is strong. He will not let you down. Daniel did business with God. I need to. You need to as well. Carolyn is going to come and she's going to play the last song, and then she will close by leading you all in the Lord's Prayer. We'll use debt and debtors to make it a little easier. And while the last song's playing, after I close in prayer, if you got stuff you want to deal with, I'll be back in my office. Come in and let's talk to God. Let me close in prayer. Father God, thank you for the privilege of talking to you. Thank you for your word, which still so powerfully speaks. You are worth praising and thanking. We're glad we can ask things of you. Lord, we have all sinned and blown it. And if there's folks that need help, I pray that they would come and they would get right with you, whatever the issue is. And Lord, since we're all in the same boat, we all need one another on our journey towards heaven. Give people courage to come clean, knowing you welcome all who admit their need and come running to you. It's only by your grace and mercy that we can say thank you and pray in your name. Amen.